So last week we started this series called Life Shared, which is a focus on evangelism. Simply put, our focus is that we would be sharing life with others, that we'd be sharing our lives with those around us, especially those who weren't in our Christian faith circles. You see, here's the truth. There is no qualifications when it comes to sharing our faith. There's no qualifications when it comes to sharing our faith. You're never too young or old, too sick or healthy, too rich or too poor. You're never too qualified or not qualified enough to share your faith. So today I'd like to declare to you this word, that God is inviting you to be a part of Him transforming lives. Think about that for a second. God is inviting you to be a part of Him transforming lives. Isn't that incredible? You see, as a Christian, there is no greater joy than to see someone's life transformed from lost to found, from hopeless to hopeful, from defeated to victorious, from slave to free, and from sinner to saint. There's no greater joy. You are invited to serve. Isn't that an amazing invitation from the Lord Jesus, that you are invited to serve? We have some extra awesome staff and board families who actually wore their We Get to Serve t-shirts today because they're serving the food. And I didn't wear mine because I forgot. But anyways, that's just how awesome they are. The truth is that you and I are invited to serve. Serving is not just a principle of Scripture. It is a privilege, right? It's a privilege. I'm going to zip through this text a little bit here. John 13 verse 3 says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands. Think about that. God gave Jesus everything. He had full control. He had everything at His disposal. He gave everything into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going back to God. Jesus knew where He was from. He knew where He was going. Verse 4, He rose from supper. He laid aside His outer garments. Back then, He wasn't in His tidy whities. He was just taking off His coat, basically. And He laid aside His outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around His waist. Then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to Him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to Him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash. I think that's kind of funny. Except for his feet, but is completely clean. Obviously, it's a spiritual thing, not just a literal. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For He knew who was to betray Him. That was why He said, not all of you are clean. When He had washed their feet and put on His outer garments and resumed His place, He said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, for I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. That's always been my favorite scripture, and probably many of yours, when it comes to Jesus' example of being a servant among us. He washed, and you know, I don't know about you, but if you've read the Bible or you know when it was written, those guys' feet would have been smelly and muddy and dirty, and who knows what God-forsaken virus was growing between their toes. But Jesus still, I'm joking a bit, maybe not, I don't know. But Jesus still washed those feet. You see, we get to serve. It's a privilege and honor. What I've learned is that sometimes we want to serve in the lowliest place instead of where God has planned us to be. We live in a culture, I feel, where people crave humility falsely. They want to be humble, but they're not really humble. All right? And the truth is that we all, if we're honest, would like God to use us in a humble way where no one sees us. Many of us would say, I'd be happy to clean the toilets or wash the floors of the church or for someone in need or something like that. But the truth is, yes, God calls us to serve in unnoticed places. Absolutely. But here's the truth, folks, and that's something that we've forgotten. He also calls us to serve in places where we may get noticed. It's the truth. He does. Now, I don't know about you, but here's something that I really never share with anyone, and it surprises a lot of people. I don't like getting up in front of people. On Saturday nights, I start to freak out a little bit. On Sunday mornings, I start to freak out even more. I've stood before thousands of people, so it's not a matter of how many are in the room. I get a little crazy. I just get a little wired inside, and it's because my natural, my natural nature, let's call it that, I don't like getting up in front of people. I don't crave it. I could live my life if someone said to me, hey, Pastor Jay, why don't you just go serve the trees and the bush the rest of your life? I could do that. I could do that. I could minister to the trees, water them, prune them a bit. I could do that, hopefully. But here's the deal. Sometimes God calls us into things where we do get noticed. I remember my worst fears would happen when people holler at me in the grocery store because they recognize me. I like to know who they are. When I was a youth pastor in Brampton a number of years ago now, I remember the church was large there, and so I didn't know everyone in the church. That was kind of a reality of being on staff there. And so I would walk around Walmart, Canadian Tire, whatever it is, the mall, and people would come up to me, and they'd say, oh, I love what you spoke on Sunday, or you prayed for me at the altar, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have never seen that person in my life. And they would love on me and invite me over for dinner and all sorts of things. And I would be like, yeah, okay. And I remember one time I was called out by one of my bosses because someone came up to me and he said, do you know who that gentleman is? And because I was super nice to him, I said, I have no sweet clue. I'm sorry. And so the truth is that sometimes God puts us in places where we get noticed. I think of right now we're launching Alpha, we're launching our youth ministries, we're launching into a new school year. And the truth is that God wants us to serve in places and we may get noticed. We can't just collect all the chairs every week and put them aside. That's someone's role, but it can't be everyone's role. You understand what I'm saying? Here's our second point for today. Faith and Jesus. Just like the video mentioned, this must be at the center of who we are. If faith in Jesus or faith in Jesus isn't at the center of who you are, things won't work as they should. It's kind of like an engine with a broken part. It just kind of clunks along, eventually it blows up, right? The truth is, Jesus must be at the center of who we are. Faith and Jesus always go hand in hand. I remember when I would hang around maybe my grandparents when I was a kid, or even my parents to an extent, and talk to people at church, people say, oh, you even meet them at the mall or whatever. They'd say, oh, do you have faith? Do you have faith that God can do something? Do you have faith? Do you believe in him? They wouldn't mention Jesus. You know that kind of person? Do you believe? I recently heard that when I was a first youth pastor. You know, people screaming at me, do you believe? And I was like, I don't know what you're saying. But the truth is faith and Jesus always go hand in hand. We can't have faith without Jesus, and we can't believe in Jesus without faith. You see, it's easy to spot a counterfeit. Listen to me. It's easy to spot a counterfeit, but an authentic Christian brings hope to all those around them. It's easy to spot someone who's faking it, but an authentic Christian brings hope to all those around them. You see, we claim to walk by faith. And as I said last week, this is a new season. I believe that. The old has gone and the new has come. So let me ask you this question. Are people surprised that you are a Christian when they figure it out? Are people surprised that you are a Christian? As I've grown older, this has become one of my greatest desires of my heart, that I would ask this question of myself. Would people recognize if they heard that I'm a Christian? Would they know I'm a Christian before I even said a word? It was easy in high school for me. I could always make sure that people knew I was a Christian. You want to know how I did it? I didn't swear. I didn't swear. I never did. It wasn't because I didn't feel like it sometimes, because I probably did, but I just chose not to. I chose not to swear. It was simple. And the weird thing is that I've noticed more and more Christians, as they get older, they just like to swear in front of me. And some of them are my friends. Some of them may or may not go to this church, not mention any names. No, just joking. But you guys got all freaked out for a second. But the truth is that I hear this, and it's like, listen, that is the easiest thing to remove from your life. I know some people would say it's not, but it truly is. The easiest thing to remove from our life, just so that people would know that we're Christians. It's as simple as that. Over the years, I've had many friends who didn't want anyone to know they were Christians. I remember I would hang out with some friends that were some Christian friends of mine, friends that went to churches around town. And then we'd have other friends in the same group that would have no idea that we are Christians. And so I'd say to my friend, hey, are you going to the worship night this week at such and such church? And I'd say it in front of our other friends, and they'd be like, oh, they start freaking out. Oh my gosh, they're going to find out about us. And the truth is that we can't act like that. We can't do that anymore. I hope so. We can't do it. But over the years, I've noticed that many of us like to hide that fact. I remember when I was a youth pastor, the Evangel Temple Toronto always had a 15-passenger white van. All right, a lot of churches have vans. And I was one of the only people that would drive it. And all the kids lived across the city, so it was hard to find kids that were close to each other. So I would drive to West Hill Collegiate in Scarborough. It's a famous high school for all the wrong reasons. And I would drive there, pick up a bunch of teenage kids. And one of them was, as he grew older, he got a lot more bold with his stupidness. All right? And so by grade 11, he would come in the van, he'd roll down the window, everyone else would get in, and he'd roll down the window as we're driving away and say, help, this white guy's taking me in his white van. And I was the only white person there, and I was like, what? I'd drag him back in the vehicle and maybe hit him a few times. But the truth is that I remember those kids, I would buy them lunch, so that's why they'd come hang out with me. But the truth was that they didn't want anyone to know that they were going for lunch with their youth pastor. They didn't want anyone knowing. I remember one time, this girl, oh man, she's going to come visit sometime here. She's so awesome because I can make fun of her. So exciting. But she would date guys with the same name when she was 15. And so I would say, hey, is that so-and-so? And she, shh, Pastor Jay, don't talk about that stuff around here. I said, well, you need to start dating guys with different names so I don't get, we can't make fun of you. It takes faith in Jesus to overcome life's insignificant and significant fears. It takes faith to overcome life's insignificant and significant fears. Finally, here's my last point today. Ask Holy Spirit. Many of us, listen to this, many of us subconsciously operate in the belief that we don't have help, that there isn't an advocate for us. Now, if I asked you on Wednesday, if I saw you somewhere on town, I said, do you believe that you have help in your Christian faith, in your walk with God, in your sharing life and faith with your friends and family? Do you have help with that? And you, because you'd see me there, you'd recognize that I'm from the church, you'd say, oh, yeah. I've got help with that. That's the Holy Spirit. And you'd be absolutely right. But here's the deal. Many of us subconsciously operate in the belief that we don't have help. And let me explain that a little bit. I believe that so many of us, we believe it in our heads, but it hasn't gotten down to our heart, that we actually have this helper, this advocate, to come and be with us in every situation that we face. Listen to the scripture. John 14, verse 26 says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. That's what the scripture says. John 16, verse 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Within each one of us is the greatest weapon we could comprehend. The greatest weapon you could comprehend is within you. The Holy Spirit walks with us, leads us, and gives us the faith to come over every situation that we may come up against. The Holy Spirit guides our steps so that in every moment, in every situation, in every conversation, he reminds us that he is for us and not against us. You see, the Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit is both in us and with us and upon us. The Holy Spirit is our power source. That's where God can work through us. Romans 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness. How many of you have weaknesses? Raise your hand. Don't let your spouse do it for you if you have one. All right. How many of us have weaknesses? All of us do. For we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That dark time that you face or that you're going through, the Holy Spirit intercedes on your behalf with groanings too deep for words. That's what the Holy Spirit does in each one of our lives. Verse 27, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Such an amazing passage. Jackie, could you help me out here? And Chris, if you want. So today, let's pray and ask God for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Can we do that together?